Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Wednesday. That's the 24th of April, and that's sort of an off day. You know, it's sort of like the weekend. Yeah, for those of us who are deeply into the end of Donald J. Trump, you know, his total downfall, trial, collapse. For those of us who are viewing that and considering, you know, how it's developing in front of our eyes, well, this is like the weekend. But it's the weekend in the middle of the week because Judge Mershon takes a break. So no trial today, but tomorrow, right back at it. You know, it's sort of interesting that the people who aren't watching, like MSNBC or CNN, and who probably don't read the New York Times or the Washington Post or any of the real newspapers, you know, the people who are afraid of the fake news, those people actually don't know what's happening. In their minds, they got this figured out. This is great. Trump is phenomenal. What a wonderful man he is. He's so smart. And he's such a winner. The only problem is they just have no idea what's actually going on because they're listening to Fox. And worse. Yeah, there are worse things than Fox. But they're listening to Fox. I have no idea what they're saying over there. But I know this. They're not talking about the trial. They're not listening to the testimony. They're not considering what kind of problems Donald has in the future. And they're definitely not thinking about the immediate problems that Donald has when it comes to the decision that the judge is about to make relative to his violating the gag order. Maybe they don't even know there's a gag order. I don't know. I mean, that's hard to even say. But it is sort of funny that they just don't know what's going on because they're afraid of the fake news. So they don't want to know what's happening at the trial because the trial's fake. Donald Trump isn't on trial. Donald Trump is in the south of France, relaxing. He could be out campaigning, but no sense in that. He's so far ahead in all the polls. There's just no sense. He just go take a vacation and wait for the election because Trump is a powerful man. But let me remind you one thing I mentioned yesterday, and it's sort of my favorite for a minute, and that is the Republican ad that explains what happens if Donald Trump goes to the mall and looks for a job. Goes to the mall and he goes to a fast food place. And at the fast food place, they say, well, tell us about your background. He says, well, I'm a good guy, you know, successful generally in business. Any problems with the police? No, nothing really. I have 88 indictments currently against me. I'm sorry, you can't work for the fast food place. No, we don't take people with 88 indictments. No, you got to go. And so then he goes on to, you know, the T-shirt place, and they say the same thing, you know, same conversation. And the bottom line is, you've got 88 current indictments against you. It's just, it's not going to work. And throughout them all, Donald would find out that he couldn't get a job anywhere. So, you know, the Republicans in the ad asked the question, if you can't work at the mall, then explain to us why you could be president of the United States if you can't even get a job at the mall. Anyway, we know what's going on because we're watching the news, you know, the real news. Now, we did in the last couple of days get a nice peek into the real world of fake news. And that's the funniest part of all of this. You know, for those of us who are old enough to remember standing in line at the grocery store and seeing the National Enquirer on the way out, you know, you'd see something about, for example, let's say Michael Douglas. They might say Michael Douglas is going to soon be getting a divorce and will be marrying somebody from Mars. That would be the headline in the National Enquirer. So, okay, it was crazy. But here's the deal. Somehow, I guess, in some part of this fake universe, the National Enquirer acquired some respectability. Is that a word that you can even use with the National Enquirer? Anyway, whatever it is, there were stories that would be published in that magazine, newspaper. Well, you can't call it a newspaper. Anyway, whatever it is, there would be stories published there. For example, Ted Cruz's father being involved with the people who killed JFK. It's all from the National Enquirer. It was all cooked up by Donald and his friend, David Pecker. Well, here's the thing. Donald ran around for years talking about the New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, every credible news outlet in the United States. And he ran around saying, these are all fake. They lie. They concoct stories about me, Donald Trump, your hero. And you can't trust them. There's nothing that they say that you can trust. They're bad people. So now here we're finally at the trial. And remember, half the country has no idea what I'm talking about. They don't know about the National Enquirer story going on here. They don't know about the fake news business that's come out of this. They may not even know that Donald's in a courtroom. I don't know. But I know this. For those of us who are following the real story, we know that Donald Trump and David Pecker and Michael Cohen, all of them together, were cooking up stories that they were publishing in the National Enquirer, which denigrated all of Donald's foes and supported Donald as if he were some kind of a king, and essentially told the story of an entire group of people who were just out to get Donald because poor Donald, such a victim. All of these conspiracies to get Donald Trump in the National Enquirer. Okay. Anyway, here we are. Like I say, half of the country, because the other half is watching something on Fox, and it isn't this. And so half of the country knows that David Pecker's in a courtroom tearing Donald Trump apart by the minute, destroying any chance that Donald Trump will ever be able to run for any offices, because he's going to lose this one by a landslide, which I have said for so long. And then I saw what was happening with the women's vote. And so now I'm watching what's happening with this David Pecker story. And believe me, this is going to get so much worse. In fact, Pecker is going to be on the stand, a lot of people think, all day tomorrow, just telling more about what they did and how they did it and what Donald ordered and what money was paid. And you got to understand something. The money that was paid was for the purpose of keeping information away from the public in order to benefit Donald in the election. Now, I know if you're listening to Fox, you've never heard of this before. I get it. But there are limits to what you can donate, both in kind and money. You can't do it. You can't go beyond these limits. And they've gone far beyond the limits. They've blown the limits apart. They've gone crazy. So the bottom line here is they've got election fraud that's coming out their ears. They're in trouble. And Pecker isn't going to change the story tomorrow. Now, you understand that Pecker was flipped by the government. They said, if you tell the truth, we won't prosecute you. So in his case, unlike Alan Weisselberg, who's sitting in jail again, Pecker decided that freedom was a better idea. Now, I understand in the case of Weisselberg, he probably took jail because Trump promised his family X amount of money to support them for the rest of their existence. You know, $1 million would be a lot of money to them. Now, does Donald have $1 million? That's another story. So you never know. But in any event, Weisselberg is one of the few people who decided that he would go along with Trump and just go to jail and support him, protect him. Although he did finally have to agree to provide information about the Trump organization, which did lead to them having to come up with $500 million. You remember that story, right? You didn't forget that one. Letitia James, don't forget it. Okay, so anyway, Weisselberg's off in jail, but that's not for Pecker. Pecker does not want to be in jail, and he's singing like a bird. Everything, telling it all. Now, I know they don't know about this on Fox. I'm sorry. But really, he's telling the story. And the story is a great one. And tomorrow, it's coming back again after this sort of like weekend break that we get in the middle of the week. And then here it comes all over again. But just keep this in mind while you're watching this, if you are. I mean, if you turn the channel to something that's actually true, I mean, if you don't worry. You can just sit there and wait until Donald's in jail. And even then they'll tell you, oh, he's on a break in the Arctic Circle, you know, where Vladimir Putin puts people that mess things up. But the truth is that there is such a thing as fake news. We now know that there is fake news. That is true. It's not the New York Times. It's not CNN. It's not the Washington Post. It's not CBS, NBC, ABC. No, it's none of them. It's Donald Trump. He's the fake news. Donald Trump is the fake news with his buddy, his longtime friend, David Pecker, and the two of them concocted stories night and day, told stories about everybody. It's all in the National Enquirer. I mean, if you believe that, yeah, the National Enquirer. You can read all about Donald Trump, or you used to be able to. I don't know if you can anymore, but on the way out of the grocery store in line, they would have all those magazines or whatever you call them there. And one of them was the National Enquirer. It may still be there. I have no idea. You know, just like all these people who don't watch the real news, I don't go to the grocery store to get my news. Now, I go to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC. You know, all the places where they tell what's actually happening. But you can do this. Just go to Fox. And you never have to worry. Every morning you'll wake up and you'll feel refreshed because you'll be thinking to yourself, Donald Trump is winning. What a great man he is. Yeah, don't listen to anything but Fox or you might be a little upset. I listened this morning to an interview on MSNBC, and it was one of the people from the unions. All the big unions were together. They had some kind of a meeting. Anyway, all the unions are supporting Joe Biden. And the reason they're supporting Joe Biden, I mean, it's all so simple. People are getting jobs. And these are not part-time jobs that pay $5 an hour. I know that's the story that they like to tell because I gather that they're being told this on Fox. But these are jobs that are paid union wages. And people are hired for a significant period of time to build bridges and big buildings and highways and repair things that are within our infrastructure that are, you know, falling apart a little bit. They got old. They needed to be replaced. All of this. Joe Biden. Now, I know that's hard to believe. I'm sure it's hard to believe. And here's why. Because for 4 years, Donald Trump got in front of a TV camera and he said, this is the week. Right now, it's coming in 1 week. It will be Infrastructure Day. He did that over and over and over again. The only problem is he never passed one piece of legislation. Not one. Zero. Having to do with infrastructure. In fact, it only got passed the moment that Joe Biden became president. Well, isn't that interesting? Because we know that Joe Biden is feeble. can't walk, can't talk, he can't think. He's incapacitated. But somehow, with all of these disabilities that he's got, he stepped into the White House and he passed the biggest infrastructure bill in the history of the United States. Now, Donald Trump, who according to his doctor is Superman, he couldn't pass the infrastructure bill in 4 years. Couldn't do it one day, nothing. Didn't do a little bit of it, none of it. Zero. But Joe Biden, who is, I'll tell you, I can't even believe that he's at the White House. He should be in hospice. Really. This guy can't last another week. Maybe not another 5 days. He's got problems. I mean, I assume that's what they're saying on Fox. You know, the fake news says that Joe Biden is passing legislation, that he's created tax credits for children so that they can afford to be in childcare during the day when their parents are at work. I mean, all of these bills are being passed, but apparently, I don't know who, somebody's doing it. I don't know who it is, because it couldn't be Joe Biden, because he's seriously ill. He's on a stretcher. But Donald Trump, every single week, got in front of those cameras and he said, "This is infrastructure week. And don't listen to the fake news." But we know now, and you'll know tomorrow if you listen to David Pecker, all along, they were making up stories. They were making them up, and they were publishing them. Now, I mean, they weren't publishing them in a university journal. I mean, these weren't peer-reviewed. These were reviewed by Donald and his pal Pecker. They made up the stories. They got the stories written. They had the stories published. And then they walked off into the sunset as Hillary Clinton lost the election with 3 million more votes than Donald. Okay, but Donald won. We understand. Not really, but yeah, he won. I mean, it depends on what one means, you know, the old Clinton sort of thing. I mean, if it means to win that you're in office because you've met the qualifications for victory, that's true. Donald did that. But if you're talking about who won the popular vote, who was more popular in the country, well, that was Hillary. By 3 million votes. Of course, Joe Biden, who was on a stretcher and being carried off to who knows where, he only won by 7 million votes. Very sick man. Very sick. But Donald is Superman, although at the moment, he doesn't seem to be able to stay awake in the courtroom. That seems to be a bit of a problem. But we don't know. Donald would tell us, I'm sure, there may be kryptonite in that courtroom. That's why he's having problems. This is Superman, you know? Fake news. I wonder if this will still be something that people talk about. I guess so. I guess the people who watch Fox, the people who read, for example, the Washington Examiner, well, it's got the name Washington in it, so maybe that's right. Not really. It's, you know, one of Donald's buddies. The point is, Donald was making up these stories. I know you probably don't realize that at one time, Donald was creating covers for Time magazine where he was identified as the man of the year on these Time magazine covers. And the only problem was Donald made them up. And then he posted them in his office and various rooms where people could see what a great man he was. But of course, he never won any of those awards. That was just, well, as Donald says, it was fake news. You know, when you go on Google, I don't know how often you do, but if you go on Google, put in Mary Trump. Mary Trump's got some great stories, things that she's got to say about Donald that are well worth reading. I know a lot of people wouldn't believe it anyway, and that's fine. You don't have to believe any of that. You don't have to believe that he's on trial. You don't have to believe that he's in trouble. You don't have to believe that he was the real fake news and that the people he was calling fake news were professional journalists who were telling stories with the same corroboration, the same sourcing that's always been required in professional journalism. But instead of that, Donald had Pecker. And he and Pecker were just writing stories night and day. They just wrote them all up. And then they'd publish them. And then he'd go around telling the stories. And then the people who would go to his events and who would follow him would listen to his stories, and they'd be dragged into a different universe through the use of fake news. You know, I read the Mueller report, 448 pages. The people that put that together were the top intelligence people in Washington, D.C., all worked for Robert Mueller, a Republican. And they all followed the same strict requirements for documenting facts in an investigation that anybody in the United States government would be required to do. I mean, they didn't just have anybody working there. They had top prosecutors from different areas of the country, all federal prosecutors from around the country, and they'd all come in and they worked together and they acquired this information and they published it, 448 pages. They ran into a little problem because the Department of Justice said you can't prosecute a sitting president. Okay, that was a rule. And then beyond that, this document came into the hands of Bill Barr, and Bill Barr read what it said, and here's what it said. And I'm not telling you the whole thing. I'm just telling you one of the conclusions. It said, we cannot exonerate Donald Trump based on the information that we found in our 2 years of investigation. We can't exonerate him. Can't prosecute him, but we can't exonerate him. So then Bill Barr got his hands on this thing, and he made up a little, I don't know, mimeograph? It's, you know, Xerox? I don't know what he did. Typed it up, you know, an old Olivetti typewriter or something, typed it up, and he put it out here, and it said, Donald Trump has been exonerated. They played it on Fox News. Pecker put it in the National Enquirer. They all put it out there. And to this day, if you say the Mueller report, there are certain people in this country, probably 70 million, who will laugh hysterically. And they'll say, you don't believe that junk, do you? Of course, now we know. Well, I shouldn't say we. Those of us who are following the trial. Remember, it's the United States of America. And when you get in trouble, there's a grand jury that meets. These are all citizens, not the deep state. You know, these are citizens. And they listen to the details brought to them by prosecutors, real prosecutors. And then they decide one way or the other. And those prosecutors recommended, well, 91 indictments against Donald, but three have been dismissed. They were vague. But 88 are going forward, and 34 are being tried in a courtroom starting a week ago. I mean, that's where we are. If you read the Mueller report, which I know no one's going to do, not even the people who are on Biden's side, they're not going to read it. 448 pages? Are you kidding me? In the United States of America in 2024, somebody's going to read 448 pages? Are you nuts? That's not going to happen. No. They're either going to watch TikTok. That's a good place. Or the National Enquirer. And then you'll get all your news. And you'll know it all. You'll know everything that Donald wants you to know. You just won't know about the trial of the century. The trial of 2.5 centuries that's taking place right now in Manhattan, where Donald Trump is being eviscerated. Just saying. Well, here's the deal. After all this work, 33 minutes into the show, I am getting very hungry. And aside from looking at the screen where Leslie is asking me if I'm saying that Republican women agree with me, and of course my answer to that would be, that's the problem that my brother's got. He didn't go to college. And if you didn't go to college, you know, you hear words and you may not understand them. But the point is that by 60 to 35, all women oppose Donald Trump. Now, those 35%, they may be Republicans. I don't know. I'm just telling you, 60 to 35 is the number. That was the old number. It might be 65 to 30 by now. It's not heading in his direction, I can tell you that. But listen, I'm getting hungry. So I want you to go to Wendy's with me for dinner. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in Chesterfield Valley, and Wendy's food is great. They have got everything you can imagine, all the kinds of things that I like to eat. Wings are not my favorite, but I know everybody loves the wings. Everybody does. It's just I'm not a wing person. But baby back ribs, oh yeah. Pizza, well, you know, I don't like the calories, but the pizza's great. It's just the calories. But the pizza's great. And You could be looking at onion rings. I know, so onion rings have some calories. I got to eat some calories sometime. So onion rings are my calories. And then there are patty melts, and there are hamburgers and cheeseburgers and smoked meats. I mean, they've got things for everybody. It's just a great place to eat, great atmosphere. Ben makes sure that Wendy's is just a great place to go to, and you can walk in and say hello to Ben. And I always say, for the price of a meal, you've just bought yourself a friend. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and the food is great, super atmosphere. And you know, I always say, when the owner is there, everything is taken care of properly, and Ben is there, and that's why Wendy's is a fabulous place to eat. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, well, my friend Al will help you there, and he's at 4506 Hampton, and that's in St. Louis, and you can buy anything there, any jewelry. You can buy coins. You can buy and sell coins. They will design jewelry for you. They're very creative. They know what they're doing. Or you can tell them what you want, and they'll do it for you. They are a fabulous jewelry store. And if you go there and take a look inside, you'll know immediately what I'm talking about. This is a fabulous place for jewelry. Well, of course, Jewels on Hampton. There you are. 4506 Hampton. You cannot go wrong with Al and his son, AJ, at Jewels on Hampton. Now, it so happens I like to be dressed up. I really do. In the old days, it was sort of a ruse. I'd get dressed up like this with my friends when we were going out to demonstrate against somebody or something, or create problems, you know, create good trouble, you know, that sort of thing. And so we would get dressed up, and I really enjoyed that. And I even have the old pictures of me when I was 17, 18 years old in a suit and tie. They really looked nice. And only problem was is I had a very long ponytail. Hard to believe, I understand. All that stuff went bye-bye. But all I'm saying is that if you go to the St. Louis Suit Company, you can look like I did when I was 17, 18 years old and was really looking great. Today, I don't have that hair anymore, but you know, I certainly have the suits and the ties, and these ties are gorgeous ties. They're silk, and they're $5. And I'll tell you, I've talked to Jay and Nick over at the suit company, and I've talked to them about the price of the ties, and everybody agrees, you know, you could raise these ties $2, $3, $4, $5, and nobody would even blink. But they don't want to do it. So $5 will buy these really nice ties that go with the really nice suits and the really nice shoes and shirts and overcoats. And there's only one thing that Jay and Nick don't have. And believe me, I'm lobbying for it. They don't have the Chucks. So I get my Chucks elsewhere. But everything else at the St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton, it's a great place to buy nice clothing. And if you're getting married or you're going to a wedding and you need clothes for a wedding, this is the place to go, because the St. Louis Suit Company does specialize in weddings. Central and Forsyth in Clayton, that's the St. Louis Suit Company. You'll like them the way I like them. Love them. They're great. So, you know, we already talked about all the problems that poor Donald Trump has. I'm sorry, poor Joe Biden has. I'm sitting here reading it, but anyway, I shouldn't. That's, yeah, we tell people, don't read. Never read when you're on the air. It'll only mess you up. But just reading one sentence, I couldn't even get that right. Anyway, poor Joe Biden has such trouble. He can't put two sentences together. But Jimmy Kimmel had a good one for him last night. He explained that although Joe Biden can't put two sentences together, that Donald Trump will soon be able to put two jail sentences together. I like that one. I don't know. I know there's some people that that wouldn't appeal to, but I thought it was good. Anyway, here we go. We're going to get the answer very, very soon on the gag order. What are they going to do to Trump about the gag order? So, first, when I was reporting the gag order story last night, I hadn't heard a couple of things. But when I heard them this morning and read about it in the newspaper, I know, fake news. But anyway, when I did, I understood exactly what was going on. Because, as I always say, Trump lies. That's all he does is lie. So he goes into the courtroom, and here's the story that he's going to tell. And what I want to know is he this stupid that he thinks somebody would believe it? Or maybe he doesn't care if anybody believes it. Maybe it's only said for his people. Maybe that's what it's for. Just those people who will vote for him so that they will believe it. Because he goes into the courtroom with at least an allegation that he has violated the gag order 10 times. Might be 11, 12, who knows. But at least 10. And the story he's got for the judge, and listen, anybody would do what I'm going to tell you. Anybody that had this problem would go into the courtroom and say to the judge, you know, judge, I am really sorry. There's no way I should have posted all these things because, I mean, there's an order right here that tells me not to do it. So I shouldn't do it, and I shouldn't have done it, and I'm really sorry, and I promise never going to do this again. Promise. Now, that's what a normal person would do who was hoping to stay out of trouble. Instead, Trump goes in and says, okay. Well, first of all, he attacks the judge. I mean, before anything is said, he attacks the judge. Kangaroo court and all the rest of that junk. Before anything. That's sort of the warm-up. So then he says to the judge, I read these reports. He said, I didn't read them thoroughly, but I read them. And when I read them, I saw a few things that looked interesting. So I posted them for other people to read. He said, look, I'm trying to put things out for people. And I don't have time to go through everything. I mean, some of these reports are like a novel. They're so long. He said, you can't expect me to read everything. He said, so I read what I could, and then I started posting. He said, I'm just trying to provide people with valuable information. That's his story. Of course, it came from his attorneys, but they're speaking for him. That's his story. The judge tells the lawyers that they are losing complete respectability in the courtroom, that the judge is losing all faith in anything that they have to say. Because it's ridiculous. Any idiot would know that none of that's true. First of all, Donald Trump doesn't read. We all know that. But if we assume that maybe somebody read it to him, he knew what it said. And on top of knowing what it said, in many of those orders, posts, he was actually adding his own words to whatever it is that he, quote, retweeted. Assuming that that's what he did, retweet. But whatever it was, he was posting things that other people wrote. He was adding his own commentary, putting it online. And all of these things were violating the gag order. Trump knew it. And Trump not only did it when he knew he did it, but then he came into courtroom and he got his attorneys to say crazy things to the judge, which I would have to think that if I were his attorney and he told me to walk into that courtroom and say these crazy things, I tell Donald Trump to take his millions of dollars and go hand it to somebody else. And I clean that up and said it nicely. But I mean, the truth is, there isn't any way that I would walk into a courtroom and say things that would make me look like a complete fool, knowing that when this is all over, you got to have a job, a career, a life. Now, I understand if you've gotten, you know, $10, $20, $30 million up front, that may be enough to last you a lifetime, and you figure, I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to go do this. I hope you cash the check. That's all I can say. But assuming that you did and that you know that you're safe, that your money isn't in a Trump bank, I mean, I don't know that there is a Trump bank, but if there is one and your money's in it, trust me, you haven't got any money. Just want you to know that. But at any rate, maybe he's got his money somewhere safe. So he walks in the courtroom and he repeats what Donald Trump has asked him to explain to the judge. And the judge looks back and says, you got a problem. Something wrong with you. You don't really think that we're going for that story, do you? Now, in the meantime, the judge didn't make his decision as to what to do. The judge has put it away for a day, and we'll see. I don't know. Like I said last night, the judge may have announced all of this while I'm sitting here on the air. I don't know. But I know this. The first thing the judge is going to do is charge him $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is. It's going to be a fine. And Trump won't care. I explained last night that the reason he won't care is because he'll probably get the money off of a credit card that he won't pay. Or he'll get it from people who are eating dog food and have $1 left, and Trump induces them to send him a dollar while they are starving and living on dog food. But one way or the other, Donald will steal that money if he has to pull wallets out of people's pockets at a train station. Trust me, he'll get the money. You know, that $5,000 or $10,000, and he'll give it to the court. So that'll be fine. That won't be a problem. The next thing that's going to happen is the judge is going to have to decide what to do about jail. Because there are only two things you can do to somebody that violates a gag order. This is New York law. Either $1,000 per violation and or jail sentence up to 30 days. Those are the two punishments. So the other thing that the judge could do for the moment, which really hurts a lot of us, makes us very sad, but he could say to Trump, okay, Donald, one more time. If you do it, you're going to jail. And the thing is that the judge has already told him about going to jail. I understand it was a slightly different story when he told it last time because it wasn't about the gag order. The last time he told Trump that he could go to jail or he would go to jail is when he said, look, if you don't come to the courtroom, you're going to go to jail. End of story. So he mentioned jail once, but he didn't mention it in association with the gag order. So, in order to be completely safe and protected, because the judge wants to be sure that this thing isn't going to be overturned by an appeals court somewhere, so he wants to be sure that everything is done so properly that no one can ever say that Donald Trump didn't get his due process. Because one thing everybody agrees is that Donald Trump has got due process that nobody in the United States has ever heard of before. Because when you do the things that Donald Trump has done, you know, there's a thing called pretrial detention. They put you in jail. They hold you there. They would do that to anybody, and especially they would do it to anybody that comes in the courtroom and starts yelling and screaming and acting berserk, hysterical, and calling the judge names, calling the court reporters names, calling everybody names. You know, somebody walks in with a sandwich, they get called names. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you're delivering food, you're kangaroo court, something, you know, whatever it is, everybody gets called something. So Donald hasn't been told yet you could go to jail. So the theory is, this is what's bouncing around. People are thinking about it. The theory is that the judge will one more time tell Trump, if you do this, if you attack jurors, if you attack witnesses, if you try to intimidate people in the courtroom, any of these things that you do that you know you've been told you're not allowed to do, you can't attack the judge's family or anybody else's family. You can attack the judge, but no, you can't go out after all these other people. It's only the 50th time he's been told this. I know, according to him, he was like the top student at Wharton. According to the professors at Wharton, he was the worst. So you figure out which one is right. But at any rate, smart man, brilliant, you know, nobody's got a mind like Donald, according to, well, and that's the truth. Nobody does. But at any rate, smart man, according to Donald, and he knows everything. He understands how this all works, and it's all going to be fine. He's got it under control. So just here it's coming. Between now and tomorrow, I presume. I mean, he said he's going to tell us real soon. The judge is going to make a decision. And the decision is going to be, you know, fine plus, do we tell Donald that he's going to go to jail, or do we just put him in jail? And the theory that's bouncing around is that one more time they will explain to Donald, the smartest man on the planet, but a man who probably hasn't figured it out yet, even though he's brilliant, that he is going to jail if he continues to do this. Now, I'm not in the courtroom. I'm just listening to the reports. But while all of this is going on, it's being reported that Donald's screaming at everybody and telling them, you know, that the judge is this and a that, that the kangaroo courts come to get him and so forth. While he's being told not to do all this, he's going crazy. You know, if you're running for office, which I've heard that Trump is, you might consider the people who would have to vote for you, who hear about what you're doing in the courtroom, they might be worried because they might remember that this is what was happening when he was running the country. So you might not want to remind them of that sort of thing. But the other possibility, and I brought this up several times here, and that is he may want to go to jail. He really might. He did tell one of the judges, put me in jail. I'm ready. I think it was Tanya Chutkan. I think that's the one he told to put him in jail. But the point is, he might want to go to jail. You know, if he goes to jail, first, he could act crazy and maybe get put into some kind of an institution where he wouldn't have to go to a federal prison. So he might be trying to avoid that. Or maybe he can just claim, you know, he's mentally ill and, you know, take pity on him. Or something. I don't know what he's planning. Or maybe he just wants to collect more money and he thinks if he goes to jail, people will feel really sorry for him and they'll send him a whole lot of money. I don't know. But I'll say this. If he wants to go to jail, in my opinion, I think he's following a very good strategy. I think this strategy could definitely get him some jail time. Maybe not this time. Although, listen, everybody could be fooled. The judge could show up and say, look, go to jail one day. We just want to let you know it's possible for us to put you in jail. So go to jail for one day. I would say try that. But the other possibility is that the judge will just say, don't do it again. Because you do it again, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to jail. But Donald might do it again right away at that point, knowing that he'll go straight to jail. Maybe he's getting tired of sleeping in the classroom, you know. I know it's not a classroom. Relax. I'm not Joe Biden. I was just saying it. Anyway, look, here's the deal. Tomorrow we'll be back and we get to hear all of this great reporting about what happens in the courtroom. We get to find out about what happens on the gag order and we'll be brought up to date completely so that millions of us will know what 70 million who watch Fox don't know. That Donald Trump is not on vacation in the south of France. He's in court and possibly heading to jail for the rest of his life because he is almost 80. With that in mind, this is Showdown, brought to you by Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, St. Louis Suit Company. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Mark Kaysen for Showdown. Good night.